$12. The boom echoed through the woods. Bits of hat lining zigzagged gently out of the sky. Granny pointed her finger at the girls who tried to lean out of the way.
"Now," she said, "why don't you go and see to your friend? She was beat. She probably ain't very happy. That's no time to go leaving people."
They still stared at her. Her finger seemed to fascinate them.
"I just asked you to go home. Perfectly reasonable voice. Do you want me to shout?"
They turned and ran. Nanny Ogg glumly pushed her hand through the stricken hat brim.
"It took me ages to get that pig cure together," she mumbled. "You need 8 types of leaves. Willow leaves, tansy leaves, old man's trouser leaves. I was collecting them all day. It's not as though leaves grow on trees."
Granny Weatherwax watched the disappearing girls. Nanny Ogg paused, then she said,
"Takes you back, eh? I remember when I was 15, standing in front of old Biddy Spective, and she said in that voice of hers, 'You want to be a what?' And I was that frightened, I nearly whittled."
"I never stood in front of anyone," said Granny Weatherwax distantly. "I camped on old Nanny Gripe's garden until she promised to tell me everything she knew. That took her a week, and I had the afternoons free."
"You mean you weren't chosen?"
"Me? Nah, I chose," said Granny.
The face she turned to Nanny Ogg was one she wouldn't forget in a hurry, although she might try.
"I chose, Githa Ogg, and I want that you should know this right now. Whatever happens, I ain't never regretted anything. Never regretted one single thing, right?"
"If you say so, Esme."
What is magic? There is the wizard's explanation, which comes in 2 forms, depending on the age of the wizard. Older wizards talk about candles, circles, planets, stars, bananas, chants, runes, and the importance of having at least 4 good meals every day. Younger wizards, particularly the pale ones who spend most of their time in the high-energy magic building, chatter at length about fluxes in the morphic nature of the universe, the essentially impermanent quality of even the most apparently rigid time-space framework, the implausibility of reality, and so on. What this means is that they've got hold of something hot and are gabbling the physics as they go along. It was at the high-energy magic building that the Thaum, hitherto believed to be the smallest possible particle of magic, was successfully demonstrated to be made up of reasons, or reality, fragments. Currently, research indicates that each reason, or thingy, is itself made up of a combination of at least 5 flavours known as up, down, sideways, sex appeal, and peppermint. It was almost midnight. The Amanda ran up the hill towards the dancers, the briars and heather tearing at her dress. The humiliation banged back and forth in her skull. Stupid, malicious old women. And stupid people, too. She'd won. According to the rules, she'd won. But everyone had laughed at her. That stung. The recollection of those stupid faces, all grinning, and everyone supporting those horrible old women who had no idea about the meaning of witchcraft and what it could become. She'd show them. Ahead of her, the dancers were dark against the moonlit clouds. Nanny Ogg looked under her bed in case there was a man there. Well, you never knew your luck. She was going to have an early night. It had been a busy day. There was a jar of boiled sweets by her bed, and a thick glass bottle of the clear fluid from her complicated still out behind the woodshed. It wasn't exactly whiskey, and it wasn't exactly gin, but it was exactly 90% proof, and a great comfort during those worrying moments that sometimes occurred around 3 a.m. when you woke up and forgot who you were. After a glass of the clear liquid, you still didn't remember who you were, but that was all right now because you were someone else anyway. She plumped up the 4 pillows, kicked her fluffy slippers into the corner, and pulled the blankets over her head, creating a small, warm and slightly rank cave. She sucked a boiled sweet. Nanny had only 1 tooth left, and that had taken all she could throw at it for many years, so a sweet at bedtime wasn't going to worry it much. After a few seconds, a sense of pressure on her feet indicated that the cat Grebo had taken up his accustomed place on the end of the bed. Grebo always slept on Nanny's bed. The way he'd affectionately tried to claw your eyeballs out in the morning was as good as an alarm clock, but she always left a window open all night in case he wanted to go out and disembowel something, bless him.